All right, are we ready to begin, Jenna? Okay, great. Okay, calling the meeting to order. I'm Terry Hollingsworth, Chair of the Orange County Workforce Development Board. We have next on the agenda the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you could post the flag. Place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. Next, we have a board member roll call.
Gloria Alvarado.
Present.
Jesse Benron.
Here.
Kathy Boyd.
Present.
Rob Claudio.
Here.
Mike Daniel.
Here.
Lori Holland Lays.
Here.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Here.
Chris Horton. Trung Lee. John Luker. Annalisa Lukes. Doug Mangione.
Present.
Barbara Mason.
Present.
Gary Mackin. Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Oregon.
Present.
Mike Ruin.
Present.
Todd Sword. And Brunielle Tumor Bias.
Here.
And we do have quorum, Chair.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Public comment.
If there are members of the public this morning that would like to speak, please use the hand raise icon and I will unmute you. And it looks like we do have a hand raised. Speaker, you have 3 minutes to address the board and you can go ahead and unmute yourself now. I believe he was disconnected. If there are other members of the public that would like to address the board, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. Seeing none, Chair. I'm sorry. There he is.
It said I got promoted to a panelist and it froze. Hi, everyone. Do I have the floor? Am I good? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. My name is Anthony Cherlizzi, and I just wanted to thank everyone for the opportunity to comment today. I'm with a company called Career Team. I'm the president of our direct services division. I'm on here today to tell a little bit about the company. We did respond to the open procurement for the WIOA adult dislocated worker contract. Career Team has been in business since 1996. We're a national organization. We're in over 30 states. I think one thing that we're trying to bring to Orange County is our high touch and high tech service delivery model. It's really about, you know, that personal feel with our case manager, but really also leveraging technology in a hybrid environment. We have an online learning management system called Career Edge, and this has been used by over 400,000 job seekers and students around the country. This is where you get content, job seeker tools. They can log on 24/7. You know, it's on their phone, and we kind of blend the in-person traditional workforce services with our technology. I think we used to say years ago that we're ahead of the curve and we're prepared and cutting edge and we're the future. And that really showed itself during the COVID-19 pandemic. That happened and people had to go home. Well, Career Team across the country in all of our different states, Washington State and Texas and Kentucky, Indiana, Connecticut, Florida, we were able to pivot and continue serving clients and not lose that touch, right? And I think that's important. I think nowadays, even, you know, post-pandemic, during pandemic, after, this is, you know, the way of the world, and we want to continue to push that way. For us, you know, we're interested to bring our high performing services on the WIOA performance indicator side, but also on enrollments and engagement into the program and spending down your participant expenses. I think that's important for a successful program to fully serve your area. We're really big about equitable access to anyone who can reach. So meeting customers where they are, whether it's through community access points or our technology, is really what we're about. For us, I think we're a collaborative provider. We are well aware and have entered new regions before. While we're not new to California, we have a couple of technology contracts there. We are new to Orange County, and we can't just come in as an outsider and say, we know it's gonna work best for you all. I think we have our model, but we have to be flexible. And if given the opportunity, we'd be working really closely with our community partner network, which we know is essential to a successful program. So coming in, we would be a flexible and collaborative provider that definitely would hear what's going on in the community and to see your strategic goals and plans are met and in collaboration with you all. So at the end of the day, really excited at the potential opportunity. And I just wanted to thank you all for your time today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Anthony. Sorry. Okay. Desiree, are we ready to move on to the action items? All right. So next, we have item number 5, program year 2022 to 2023, Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act program funding. So Karma, will you be speaking to that?
I will. Okay. Desiree, can we get to the action item and the, there we go. So as a reminder, each year we are provided a formula funding allocation. Typically, the formula funding allocation is decided by the feds in October and passed to the state in October, and it ends in September. Ends in September of every year. Unfortunately, for California and for workforce areas, our program year starts in July and ends in June of every year. Unfortunately, EDD isn't always as prompt in giving our formula funding for each year. In fact, most of the time we receive our funding formula allocation notice after the program year has already started. And so that creates a bit of a challenge when we're trying to make decisions on how to allocate our funding, who receives the contract, how much should they receive. Typically, the strategy that we use in entering contracts is to take a look at what was your spending the previous year if you are a existing provider, how much money did you return, and then decide from there how much money to allocate you. Now, certainly, if a service provider, while operating the program, exceeds the performance that we allocated to them, we will add more money to their contract, but we will not do that until they've at least hit close to a 20% spent mark on their contracts. Then we start evaluating giving them more funding. What I'm asking for today is to take a look at the funding allocations from the last 2 years and a funding model that I've shared before over the last couple of years. The funding model is to ensure that no less than 75% of our grant funding actually goes to serving participants. 15% is used for staff costs and 10% is sent for admin costs. That's typically the model that we use internally and the model that we pass down to our service providers to ensure that our service providers are receiving adequate funding. In addition to that, every year when we contract, because we go into contracts annually with annual renewals, we are required to go in front of the Board of Supervisors to award those contracts to service providers. Our intent is to have those contracts in place before July 1st, which means that we have to get in front of the Board of Supervisors to ask for their approval. So today I'm asking for multiple things. So for the youth contract and the one-stop operator contract, I'm asking for permission to renew their contracts another year. And so what that will look like is that this committee will take a vote to renew these contracts and that renewal contract renewal will go in front of the Board of Supervisors for review and approval. I'm then asking for you to consider allowing us to enter into a new contract with a new service provider as a result of an RFP, and we will go over that RFP information momentarily. And then last but not least, I'm asking for permission to develop more contracts as funding is received, because again, I have no idea what we're going to receive for the next program year, but I'm asking for permission to enter into procurements or to procure new providers or existing providers to provide programs for special populations, for specify groups and programs in response to COVID-19 or any other national emergency. Desiree, can we scroll down some? Okay, and so my recommendation is to review and approve the Orange County Workforce Development Board Resolution 1-22 for approval of the program year 22-23 BOLA funding. For your consideration, I've provided you some attachments. I've attached a copy of previous year formula allocation so that you can see essentially what we've received for WIOA funds since 2020 and then 2021 program year. And then if we could go to the recommendation. Are there any questions before we enter into the recommendation request for the board?
Just as a point of reference, just to make sure everyone is tracking, and I know you're passing up the budgets right now, but for 2020 to 2021, I think was the first time frame. Can we just set our eyes on that total amount that was allocated?
Yes, let's look at the revised budget. So Desiree, one more up.
Okay.
So what they did, let me explain. Desiree, stop. What they did is they allocated our adult dislocated worker and youth, and then they revised it. So if you look over, we receive a combination of, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to do this. I probably need a...
We're looking at the Orange County line item, right?
It's $8,750,154. That was just for adults and dislocated worker. We also received a separate formula allocation for rapid response and layoff aversion. So it's $8 million for the core programs, which is youth, adult, and dislocated worker. Mm-hmm. So that's $8 million. And then Desiree, can you scroll down to the next table? And then the table below is our allocation for rapid response and layoff aversion. If we can stop and then kind of go over, let me see, some of my pages. I'm not showing up, so let me see if I can't move this over. So for the rapid response and layoff aversion, we receive an additional $1,400,000, and I can't see that.
Is that 86?
650, yes.
680, I think, yeah.
Okay. And so that's what we received in 2021. Now, I will share with you that during that program year, when we allocated the funds to some of our providers, there was money returned. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, when we entered into our 21-22 contracts, we reduced to allow our service providers the opportunity to spend what they could or what they had available to them. And if they were able to serve more clients or increase, we left funding to make funding available so that they can ask for more or receive more should the performance level increase in terms of how many people they were serving and the cost of serving them went up. But unfortunately, I think you may remember that didn't happen. They actually gave money back that year. So they gave money back in 2021, and they also gave money back in 21-22. And I believe there is some money to be returned this year as well.
Okay, great. And then moving on to the new budget, new proposed budget.
So we don't have a new proposed budget because EDD hasn't released that. So that's what, right. Can you go down, okay. Desiree? So we can look at the 21-22 budget. So for 21-22, they gave us $10,000,000. Let me see if I got that right. $10,302,451. So it did increase for the core formula programs. And so did rapid response and layoff aversion. But again, we didn't allocate that all to the service providers because of the money being returned the previous year. So the challenge is that when we allocate funding to a service provider for an entire program year, and at the end of that year, if it's not spent, we run the risk of having to return it back to the state. And so when we run the risk of returning it back to the state, it also affects future funding that we receive. So if we keep returning funding back, the state allocates less to our workforce area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any questions? Okay. So if there, I'm sorry, any questions at this point? So do we have a motion to approve I'm trying to look at the
it's a resolution. It's a resolution.
Okay.
Yes. So, and I don't know if you want us to read over the resolution together or if you've already read the resolution. Desiree, if we can scroll down to the resolution.
Desiree, go, the resolution's the other way up. There you go. And there you go. There's the recommendations of the resolution.
Okay. Yes. So Karma, if you could read the resolution.
Okay. So whereas Orange County Workforce and Economic Development Division has developed and released a request for proposal. Wait a minute. Is this the right one? Scroll up. I think, is there another page before this? Yes. Okay. All right. There we go. All right.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So let's pause here. Has everyone had the opportunity to read the resolution?
Yes.
Okay. Would it be helpful if you have not had a chance to review it, just to overall just summarize basically? I mean, I know you just described, Karma, you know, what this is all about, but
yep.
For those who have not had the opportunity. Yes.
Okay. I can summarize it. So Desiree, scroll down a little bit. So the first area I'm asking for a little bit more is I'm asking that for the WIOA adult dislocated worker and youth formula funding that, and I'm just going to go over this section, that no less than 15% of the WIOA adult dislocated worker and formula funding that should be awarded for direct staff costs. No less than 75% of the WIOA adult dislocated worker youth formula funding received shall be awarded to a service provider for direct services for job seekers. No more than 10% of the WIOA adult dislocated worker for youth formula funding be awarded for administrative costs. No less than 30% of the WIOA adult dislocated worker formula funding be added to a service provider shall be used for training, which is also, I want to highlight, that's mandated by EDD. No less than 10% of the WIOA dislocated worker formula funding shall be awarded to service provider, shall be used on adult work experience or transitional jobs. Again, that's a policy that we put in place 2 years ago to provide adults who didn't have work experience or limited work experience the opportunity to receive paid work experience. The next one is no less than 10% of the WIOA adult and dislocated worker formula funding awarded to service providers shall be used for upskilling for underemployed adults and dislocated worker, which means that we can enroll people who have jobs who are underemployed and provide funding so that they can upskill to get to a better job that leads to self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. Can you scroll up a little bit more? Okay. Okay, for WIOA in-school youth and out-of-school youth, no less than 25% of the total WIOA formula funds awarded to a service provider shall be used for in-school youth. That's mandated by law. No less than 75% of total WIOA formula funds to a service provider shall be used for out-of-school youth program, again, mandated by law. No less than 30% of the total WIOA youth formula funding awarded to a service provider shall be used for work experience. That is mandated by EDD. For national dislocated worker grants, no less than 75% of national emergency grant or dislocated worker grant funding shall be awarded to a service provider. No less than 75% of special grant funding received shall be awarded to a service provider for direct services for job seeker. And then for WIOA governor or discretionary grant funds, no less than 75% of WIOA and or governor's discretionary grant funding received shall be awarded to service providers for direct services for job seekers. And then no less than 75% of special grant funding received shall be awarded to a service provider for direct services for a job seeker.
Okay, great.
That is the gist of what this is asking.
You're right. So any questions or comments at this point? Any concerns? Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Kathy Boyd.
Okay.
Second by Colorado.
Okay. Roll call.
Gloria Alvarado.
Yes.
Jesse Benron?
Aye.
Kathy Boyd?
Yes.
Rob Claudio?
Aye.
Mike Daniel?
Aye.
Lore Hollins-Lays?
Aye.
Terry Hollingsworth?
Aye.
Chris Horton? Trung Lee? John Luker? Annalisa Lukes? Doug Mangione?
Aye.
Barbara Mason?
Aye.
Gary Mackin? Ernesto Medrano? Carlos Oregon?
Aye.
Mike Ruin?
Aye.
Todd Sword? And Brignell Tumor Bias?
Aye.
And that is majority chair.
Okay, great. Thank you. And so that took care of number five, Karma, right?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. So moving on to number six, the WIOA Title I Career Services for Adults and Dislocated Worker Procurement. So I'll pass that over to you, Karma.
So the federal law requires that the Workforce Board oversees the procurement of service providers. So via through the staff of the Workforce Development Board, we and the County of Orange, we released an RFP for the WIOA Title I Career Services for Adults and Dislocated Workers. We are required every, I believe through EDD, every 4 years to procure a new service provider for adult and dislocated worker service or sooner. So we don't have to necessarily wait the 4 years, we can always do it sooner. But we are required to procure a provider through a competitive procurement process. In order to keep a firewall, the Workforce Development Board solicited the support of the Orange County Procurement Office to conduct a procurement on behalf of the Orange County Workforce Development Board for a new service provider. A competitive procurement process was completed. A part of that competitive procurement process included a panel. Several of the Workforce Development Board members, or all of the Workforce Development Board members, were invited to participate on the review committee. The review and selection committee. Unfortunately, they were not able to fully participate. However, we did have other members of the community participate who are subject matter experts in various areas of program performing, program design and performing. Some of those members included members from EDD, a member from EDD, SSA, the justice system, the Department of Aging, are just a few of the members that participated on that review panel. So as a conclusion, there were several proposals submitted. There were three providers that scored high enough to be considered for a new contract. So what I'm asking for the board to do at this time is to review and approve the recommendation of that procurement process. They have made a recommendation for a provider. The next step would be if this committee reviews and approves a provider that the committee recommended, the procurement committee recommended, then the procurement and contract information will be sent up to the Orange County Board of Supervisors for review and approval to enter into a contract with this provider. So with that said, I want to go down. Let's, Desiree. To the recommendations. So for the recommendation to review and approve the Orange County Development Board Resolution 0222, approval of the program year 22-23 recommended WIOA Title I Career Services, Adult and Dislocated Worker Service Provider. For your consideration, I've provided you attachments. Number one, the Orange County Workforce Development Board Resolution. And then number two, the Orange County Community Resource Memorandum of Recommendation. The memorandum of recommendation is the official document from the procurement review process with the recommended provider listed.
Okay, Desiree.
Are there any questions or concerns? I'm sorry?
No, I was just asking Desiree to scroll down a bit.
Okay.
Karma, I have two questions, I guess. One is, what is your personal opinion on the matter? As someone who guides us on the board, again, I believe you weren't part of the process, but as you've seen the reviewed, because again, you're more professional at this than we are. What is your take? And then secondly, I guess also, what other options do we have if you don't believe that they're, I guess, a credible provider?
That's a great question. And unfortunately, Jessamyn Ron, my personal opinion does not matter. So the whole point of the procurement process is to have an unbiased committee review all of the facts and documents and information provided. That committee who participated in the review of it also did interviews with the providers and scored according to the information provided. They scored according to the performance. Can we scroll down a little bit, Desiree, and so we can look at what the questions that they looked at? There's a section. Oh, wait a minute, maybe up, I'm sorry. I think it's a part of the action item, not the resolution. Scroll up a little bit more. There we go. So there we are. So these are the primary questions that interview questions that were used when they reviewed the service providers who submitted proposals and that they interviewed. They asked them, provide an example of how your organization overcame various challenges delivering services during COVID-19. Number two, what steps would your agency take to address shortfalls in clients? Number three, please describe your specific strategies for outreach and engagement for the diverse needs of most marginalized populations in Orange County. Number four, what are the strategies to maintain participant engagement in your proposed service? Include the frequency of your engagement and how they will lead to a positive outcome. And then number five, what are your agency's evaluation measures to ensure accurate tracking and data reporting? And then number six, what sets your agency apart from other agencies? Desiree, can you scroll up a little bit more? I can't tell if it's number seven. Okay, so those are the questions that they asked in an interview process. They interviewed all the top panelists, all of the top applicants. And then based on how they responded to those questions, based how they responded to the actual RFP solicitation, they scored the providers. Can you go down a little bit, Desiree, to their recommendation page? I think it's the last, maybe the last page in this document. Yeah, so as a result, this is how the top three providers scored. Career Team scored at the top, MCS in the middle, and then there was another organization, Arbor ENT, that scored third. So this board has the opportunity to either A, accept the recommendation, B, challenge the recommendation, and then C, reprocure. Now the problem is if you reprocure, the current contract with MCS is now will be expired in June. Which means that you'd have very little time to reprocure a new provider. However, it's possible. We could talk to the state about extending the contract. I don't know what the state stance is on that because we did conduct a procurement. And in my opinion, in regards to the procurement, I think it followed all the rules. We didn't break from it because we didn't want our procurement challenged. I think as a board, some of our previous procurements have been challenged because there were circumstances where we didn't necessarily follow rules. My team and I, we made sure we followed all the rules, that we didn't get involved, that we kept an arm's length distance in the procurement process, and we allowed the county procurement department as well as the panelists to do what they are called to do when conducting a procurement. So Jesse, I hope that answers your questions. Unfortunately, I cannot provide you my opinion.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
And how many people, Karma, served on the panel?
I believe, Elsa, if you could chime in just to confirm, I believe five.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns? Okay. With that said, do we have a motion to approve the Orange County Workforce Development Board Resolution 02-22.
This is Jesse, I motion.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Gloria Alvarado.
Yes.
Jesse Benron.
Aye.
Kathy Boyd.
Aye.
Rob Claudio.
Aye.
Mike Daniel.
Aye.
Laurie Holland-Lays.
Aye.
Terry Hollingsworth. Terry Hollingsworth, Chris Horton, Trung Lee, John Luker, Annalisa Lukes, Doug Mangione.
Aye.
Barbara Mason.
Aye.
Gary Mackin. Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Oregon.
Aye.
Mike Ruin.
Aye.
Todd Sword. And Brignell Toomer Bias.
Aye.
And that is majority.
Desiree, I think Terry got kicked into the back into the waiting room or to the normal room. I think you have to promote her back up to panels.
Working on it right now.
Okay, I'm back. This is not a good computer day for me, so I apologize for that. Okay, we've completed the roll call. And now if we can move on to the last action item on the list. And Desiree, if you wouldn't mind reading the action item. I'm back on my phone again.
Of course, no problem. Action item number 7 is AB 361, review and make findings required by Government Code subsection 54953E3. Recommendation, continue virtual meetings due to proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to health and safety of attendees. An emergency continues directly to impact ability of members to meet in person.
Okay, great. So do we have a motion to approve?
Move to approve or second. This is Rock Claudia.
Okay, thank you. Roll call.
Gloria Alvarado.
Aye.
Jesse Benron.
Aye.
Kathy Boyd.
Aye.
Rob Claudio.
Aye.
Mike Daniel.
Aye.
Lorraine Holland-Lays.
Aye.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Aye.
Chris Horton. Trung Lee. John Luker, Annalisa Lukes, Doug Mangione.
Aye.
Barbara Mason.
Aye.
Gary Mackin, Ernesto Medrano, Carlos Oregon.
Aye.
Mike Ruin.
Aye.
Todd Sword, Brignell Toomer Bias.
Aye.
And that is majority chair.
Right. So that completes all the action items. Are there any questions or comments before we adjourn?
Chair Hollingsworth, I just want to add, if once we adjourn this meeting, if members of the youth committee can stay on, we do have a quorum. Since we didn't get to that committee meeting, I would appreciate anyone from the youth committee staying on. We can get the AB 361 vote out of the way really quick to maintain authority to continue virtuals for that committee as well.
Okay. And would it be possible for you to flash up on the screen the schedule that, Jenna, you shared with me?
I don't have it, unfortunately, with me. I can email it out. Definitely, I can email it out. But if you want to give the members a little bit of the information regarding our plan going forward to maintain the authority to continue virtual meetings.
Yes, absolutely. So the plan is we have to continue to go through the process as we've done today with the AB 361 review of that provision and approval in order to maintain holding these meetings virtually. So I know that there are, you know, hopefully they're not annoying to you, but we have, this is the process that's outlined. We've had the opportunity to engage an attorney to see if there are any other options available. And unfortunately, we're not able to come up with any other options. So I appreciate your patience with this process as we continue to comply with this order. So anything else you'd like to add, Jenna, to that?
Yeah, just that we will be sending a schedule of the meetings. Just know it's strictly for the AB 361 vote. And so there may be additional meetings that take place. For instance, in May, we're going to have a couple sets of meetings. We're going to have our normal scheduled meetings that we already have on the calendar for May. And then we're going to have a set of, and it's going to take place one morning, AB 361. So there will be a need to meet sometimes more than once in a month to handle the AB 361 requirement, because it has to happen within 30 days. And sometimes from one month to the next month, it goes beyond that 30 days. So there may be a need to meet more than once in May.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions? Okay. If not, meeting's adjourned. And if those on the youth committee could stay on, that would be great. Have a great day.